The scripture reading this morning will be coming from Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 25. Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 25. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now he has reason about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away. For now, we have a covenant. I have a convenient time. I will call for you."
This last week, I went down to Adamsville. Rode around and called on a few towns and spent pretty much the day driving and talking to people. And I went by a cemetery, and I do this pretty often, and I mentioned this once before, but this is a different cemetery. I went by a cemetery that I had preached a funeral, and I actually had been there, and someone was buried at that cemetery that I had preached a funeral and got to know. Got me to thinking this week about this sermon, and also David Brasher on Wednesday night. In his class that he taught on Wednesday night, done an outstanding job. And some of the things that he pointed out in our class, in the men's class, and if you're not coming on Wednesday night, you're missing a good class. You're not stuck with any particular teacher. If you happen not like the teacher, next week's going to be different. So I like that. I like that. You're not stuck with one person. So come on Wednesday night. Women's having class, men's having class. Of course, children's having class as well. But David gave me an idea, and also driving by seeing this cemetery, it reminded me of who I preached a funeral for at this cemetery. It was a man that never would obey the gospel. I had talked to his family. Matter of fact, one of his family members obeyed the gospel. And at that point, we encouraged him to obey the gospel. Several occasions we would spend time together, we would discuss the Bible, and we would encourage this person to obey the gospel. But he never would, and he never did. He left this earth without having been washed in the blood of Jesus. Having his sins remitted, washed away, so at some point on Judgment Day, that person, according to the scripture, so don't get mad at what I'm about to say, but according to the scripture, on that day, on Judgment Day, he is going to stand before our Creator. And every sin that he ever took part in or had, he's going to carry that day. He is going to stand before God with nothing between him and God to cover that sin. Now, let me back up just a minute. I'm not judging this man. Before you tell me that on the way out, I'm not judging this man. But we are talking about ourselves today. That we have an opportunity to allow the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins, to cover our sins, that when we go one day and we stand before God, that we have Jesus there as our mediator. We have Jesus there as our Savior. And we have our Father looking at Jesus' blood instead of our sins. This morning, for just a few minutes, I want us to think about how we all face challenges in our life. Some are big. Sometimes there are big challenges that come our way and they consume us and they drag us down and we allow them to consume us. Sometimes there are small challenges that come our way, but either way, we all face challenges in our life. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll be turning there, I want us to think about, and you can mark Hebrews chapter 11 because we're going to go to that a few times in the lesson this morning. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, how much sacrifice are we willing to make for reward? In your life, think for just a minute. How much sacrifice are you willing to make for the reward? Now, we know the reward is going to be great. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the next hour after we get done eating, how great that reward is. Can you imagine the sacrifice that we make on this earth and how great it's going to be someday in heaven? When I was sitting down here this morning in class, and I was paying attention, David, so don't get on to me, but I was running through my head a little bit about my sermon, and I looked at our bulletin. And I got to looking at our health watch and all the people that's sick. And I scanned down to the section of cancer. Have y'all noticed how the cancer section is growing? We're gaining more and more people on our prayer list that has cancer. And people that have cancer has to make a choice. The choice that they make is, am I going to go through these treatments? Am I going to take chemotherapy? Am I going to take radiation? Am I going to have surgery? Am I going to, whatever the treatment process is that they're going to have, they have to look at that and they have to examine that and they have to decide whether going through this is worth my chances of beating cancer. And a lot of times people make decisions like that based on what percent chance they have of survival anyway. I can't help but think about Jay, how that he always wanted another treatment. All right, let me rephrase that. He didn't want another treatment, but he always chose to take another treatment. No matter whether it had been proven or not, he would take it. He would be the, as we talked about one time in life, the guinea pig. He would be one of the first to take this treatment to see if it would work, because in his mind and in his heart, he wanted to live so bad. He was willing to go through all the suffering and all the pain and all the hair loss and all the throwing up and all the sickness and all everything that went with it. He was willing to do that, and at no point did he ever say, "I quit, I don't want any more." Even when he was told there's nothing else, he said, "Find something that I can take, because I've got to have something for hope that I can beat this." And they would find something, and he would take it. And ultimately, we all know that Jay lost his battle with cancer. But if we compare ourselves to that, and the challenges that we face on this earth today, how much sacrifice are we willing to go through for the reward that we're promised? And that being heaven. Well, David said Wednesday night, and this is what got me thinking, David. He was talking about Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 23, Daniel was not harmed when he was in the lion's den. Would you have been? If you had been Daniel on that day when you were put in the lion's den, Charles, would you have been harmed by the lions? And that's the question I'm really asking for each one of us. And David, I thought about it Wednesday night when you were talking about it. I thought, would the lions have gotten me? Because if you've turned there in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him." Then I put a question here on my Bible: why? Why was it that Daniel was not harmed when he was in the lion den? It tells you there, because he believed in who? God. He was able to be in that. That's amazing, isn't it? Have you ever thought about that? You know, David even said out in the foyer, I'm not picking on David this morning, but David even said out in the foyer, he said, been reading the Bible for 30 years, and still I read and things jump out at me, and it does. It does to me too when I'm studying. And that just jumped out at me Wednesday night when he said that. Why is it he wasn't harmed? Because he believed in God. That's amazing. Do we really believe that? Each one of us in here this morning, do we really go that far in our life that we can say that because I believe in God, this is going to be okay? Folks, that's where we got to be. When we think about being a Christian, and we're thinking about the challenges that we face and everything good and bad in this life that we're going to face, we have got to have that same belief in God. But the question is, would you have been harmed in that lion's den? Wow. Nick, I don't know. I don't know, because I'll tell you something about Tim. Tim has a tendency to want to rely on Tim. When things start happening, I think, what do I need to do? How do I respond to this? And maybe I'd have been too aggressive in the lion's den and I'd have been consumed real quick. Instead of realizing when I was being lowered down or put in that lion's den that God is with me. But you know there's other examples in the Bible, is it not? What about Noah? Shane, would you have built the ark? I mean, I got thinking we might have needed one this last week. We had a lot of rain. But honestly, take the kidding away and put yourself where Noah was at. David, would you have built the ark, really? I mean, it never happened before. Everybody in the whole world at that point except your family was making fun of you, calling you crazy. Would you have continued to build a great big boat with everybody else pointing a finger at you and saying, you have lost your mind? Would you have done that? Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 says, Noah walked with God. In other words, he believed. He believed exactly what God had told him. He believed that's what was going to happen, and he was going to live his life that way no matter what everyone else thought or done or acted. Otherwise, he believed in God, and he said, I am going to build this ark because I believe. I wonder if old Tim would have built that boat. I wonder if Peyton would have built it. Or Peyton, because of all your buddies at school and football players, them saying you're crazy. Would you have followed the crowd? Now, I'm not picking on you. I love you. I put myself back there. Would Tim say, I'm going to follow what everybody else is doing? God told me, but everybody's telling me I'm wrong. Therefore, I'm going to go do what everybody else is doing. But you know what goes further than that? In Matthew chapter 14, we read about John. And when we think about John and we think about how important he was, not only to Bible times, but to Jesus and even us today, John was beheaded. If you look at chapter 14, starting in verse 10, and he sent and beheaded John in prison, and his head was brought in a charger and was given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. That was terrible. Would you have done that? John Henry, would you have stayed true when they got the sword out? That's tough. Let me ask you this. on that great day, on that great day that's coming. Where do you think John's going to be? Where do you think he is going to be that we read about in John chapter 14? Where is he going to be? He is going to be there on that great day. So the pain and the suffering and the challenges he faced, he will be rewarded for it, and he knows how great that was. And you can turn over to Acts chapter 7, verses 57 through 60, and we read about Stephen being stoned, and we're going to finish the lesson. We're going to tie all this in. You can go to Acts chapter 7 and 57 through 60, and we read about Stephen, how that he was preaching and teaching and proclaiming the gospel, and how that he loved the Lord, and how important it was for him. And he was alone. And I love to read this, because we can apply this to our life, starting in verse 57. And they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped up their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord. That's just amazing to me that one person continues to stand in the faith when everyone else is putting their hands over their ears saying, "Be quiet, I don't want to hear this." And then they just break and run right for him. And he keeps standing there. How much faith is that? That he would continue to proclaim. "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." And we're going to get to him in just a minute. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin at their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Would you have been able to have been drug out and not have said, "Wait a minute, I've changed my mind. Wait a minute, I don't want to talk about Jesus no more. I see y'all serious about this, and put the bricks down, put the rocks down. Time out. I'm a different person now. You made a believer out of me." Folks, the world does that today to us. They're not throwing bricks. They're not throwing rocks. But at the same time, we're being pulled out from where we want to be. A lot of people are, and they are choosing to say, "Wait a minute, I've changed my mind. I'm not really a Christian." But we learn from Stephen. Because he believed, he was stoned. On that great day, one day, where do you think Stephen's going to be? That's what we're living for. Well, what about Saul? Saul made a huge change in Acts chapter 9. He was journeying near Damascus, and suddenly there was a light from heaven shine down. And then you can turn over to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. He followed through. He followed through. Now, a whole other lesson can be taught here on Saul or Paul, because he believed. He believed before this day. He believed that he was doing what he should have been doing when he was persecuting and trying to destroy the church. He believed that as well. And then when the Lord appeared to him, he changed his whole thinking. At that time, he changed his mind, and then he believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. The jailer in Acts chapter 16, he and his family believed and they obeyed after some great things happened in their life. So I guess the question, great things are happened and they believed. Maybe, just maybe, we need to look at the great things that's happening in our life. And maybe we need to believe. Maybe we need to turn this over to God. And put ourselves in a lion's den. And put ourselves in building an ark. Where would you stand when your faith is being challenged? These great men of the Bible are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're not going to take the time to go back there. But sometimes read Hebrews chapter 11. All these great men and women of the Bible, they're counted among the faithful. How do you get counted among the faithful? It's because of your belief. Our belief leads us in our lives. Wherever you're at in your life, it's because of your belief. And I'm willing to be challenged on that statement because I thought it through, because I first said that this week or wrote it down, and I thought, I don't know if that's right or not. But I went back and I thought about it, and that's right. Wherever you're at in your life, it's based on your belief. There's a lot of people that say, I believe, but yet they don't live as though they believe. Because I'm talking about being changed in our heart to the point that Jesus is in our heart and it drives us, and our belief allows us, our lifestyle, our actions, and our service each day, because I believe this is what I'm going to do. Where are you at in your belief? You know, Joshua said in his farewell address, and we know this. We know this verse very well, but actually the verse before it says, fear the Lord. In his address, fear the Lord. Serve Him. He said, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. He said, put away other gods. David talked this morning in class about other gods, things we put before God, becomes our idols or our gods. Joshua said, put away other gods, serve the Lord. And then the verse we all know. If it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, then you choose today. You choose today who you're going to serve. But I'll tell you, as for me and my house, I love this. We will serve the Lord. Your belief drives your service, your actions, and your lifestyle. Now, we're all going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes in our life, and we fall short, including and especially me. I am challenged daily by different things in my life, different people. It's hard to always say, I'll be okay in the lion's den. It's hard to always say that. But when we believe, I think there's three things we have to do. And number one is, and these are quick. I know you thought we was nearly done, and we are. Three things. Number one, you have a believing heart. These men did because they believed. We have to develop a believing heart. And only you can do that. No one can fix it and no one can make it there for you. John said in John 1 verse 7, we are told that Jesus came so that all men might believe. That's the whole purpose that Jesus came here, is so that we can believe the things that we're talking about this morning. So we have to have a believing heart. And what do we really believe would be the next step? Because there's people that believe, the Bible even says that many people say, Lord, Lord. Many people believe. The devils, they believe and they tremble. But they don't bring into action what they know that they should do. And too many people today are that way. They believe in Jesus. They believe in God. They'll even say they believe in heaven and believe in hell. But their actions do not change. So what do we really believe in? Isaiah 55 and verse 9, we're told, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. Found this quote from Mark Twain. He once said that if doing good was what got us to heaven, he said you could not get in, but your dog could. If doing good was all it was, we're out. There's more to it than that. What do you really believe in? And then the third thing we have to do is we have to stop running away. When we hear the truth and we believe the truth, we have got to stop running. We've got to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, confessing your faith, turning from sin, being baptized this day for the remission of your sins. Begin that new life because you believe. or we come back to God because we've fallen away. Either way, we stop running. And that was the third thing, that we stop running. These men did because they believed. This morning, as we're about to stand and sing, how much belief do you have? Answer that while we stand and sing.